Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
One is Mark and John's the other. They're just friends. They are not lovers. It's two old queens. It's two old queens. They're just sassy, not that mean. Two old queens. It's two old queens. Now shut up.
Hello. Welcome to Two Old Queens. I am John Flynn.
I'm Mark Rennie.
Mark, oh my God, I am so excited about today's guest. I cannot even begin to tell you, so please introduce him.
Well, he's a writer from, no, an actor and a writer.
All of those things.
Multi-hyphenate, you know, from Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, 30 Rock, and most importantly, the movie Greta. It's Jeff Hiller.
Hello.
Hello, Jeff.
Hello.
Jeff, welcome.
Now, I am a listener, a frequent listener, and I know that you introduce everyone by saying you're so excited.
No, but it, Jeff, you know it's true. You
and can then feel you it. Cut, you cut to Mark, who said, I think he's a writer or some shit.
Just a slip of the tongue. Don't take it personal.
Great.
He's indifferent to most people.
I want you to know when I heard Two Old Queens was coming out, first of all, I'm also an old queen, so it felt a kindred.
Sure.
But I was like, oh my God, I introduced them.
And then
I listened to Gabrus's episode, and Gabrus was like, I can't believe, like, I introduce you guys. That's my Gabrus impression.
That's not a good John Gabrus impression.
Yeah, I can't believe I introduce you guys. And then you two were like, 1,000 people tell us that every single day. And I was like, I'm one of the minions.
No. For me, I feel like it really is you and Gabrus who are the two people that I remember being like, oh, there's this guy you're going to like.
I met you first at Julie Brister's house.
That's true.
So it's like a full circle moment.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so see, Julie Brister said it
another
too.
Another link.
A chain
so
of friends.
Links.
See?
So many friends. They
you
know.
Wanted to be, are you like a matchmaker type person?
Well, I did feel a specialness and then I was like, oh boy, check your narcissism at the door, Hiller.
No, you can still feel it.
Thank you.
Have either of you ever been to an actual strip club?
Yes, I have. For like a bachelor party.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I've only been to one in my life.
Uh-huh.
It was my brother's bachelor party, and my father was there the whole time.
Oh, perfect.
Oh.
It was terrible. It was called Olympic Gardens. It was in Vegas.
We sat Olympic around. Olympic Gardens?
Olympic Gardens. It's like the big strip club in Vegas.
The big
going
strip
to Vegas,
club in Vegas.
Going to win.
Yep. Okay.
And we sat around a table.
Sure.
And then a girl comes out, and I was the only one who would talk to her.
Yeah.
Was it like a booth? Or like?
No, you're like sitting around a table. And like a round
oh,
table.
Gotcha.
Does she dance on the
she
table?
She dances on the, it's like a big table.
I see. How many people were in your party?
Like 9 or 10.
Oh, okay.
And your
was
brother
it
was
just you
like,
at the table or were there other people
come
at the
on,
table?
Pops.
It was all of our party at gotcha. The table.
Your brother was like, come on, Dad, let's do
well,
this.
My brother didn't put it together. Someone else put it together, so we were all just being nice. But sure. It wasn't really our thing. She bit my nipple.
Oh.
Through my shirt.
Oh, well, okay, but that's still
she
a
she can touch you, but you cannot touch her.
Yeah.
I went to a male strip club.
Oh, what was that like?
It was called Boxers and Briefs.
Oh, I think, where's that? I think I've been there.
I was in St. Louis, but it was over the Illinois border.
Okay.
So it was long,
maybe,
not long, but pretty long.
What are the St. Louis strip clubs like?
I don't know. I went to this one. It was over the border.
Oh, over the border.
And it's full nude.
Full nude.
Except for you can't. You have to wear shoes.
The strippers do?
Yeah.
Interesting. Did they wear?
Which, like, I think with a woman it might be like sexy, like she's wearing like spiked heels or something. But like just with the guy, it was like it wasn't even Chuck Taylor's. It was like. Like wingtips.
Oh no.
Like they're gonna do a tap number.
I don't know. It's so bizarre. But then just like fully naked. And like all not all, but like many of them were like very clearly straight and like
sure.
Just gay for
deigning.
Because they weren't making eye contact.
Thank you.
No, like I think they kind of fetishized that. Like, oh. aren't you so excited that, like,
you
I'm not into that whole
like
genre
shaming you kind of.
No, not that. Like, I think they thought I was into like humiliating them or something.
Oh, I see.
And I'm not into it. I'm
no.
Oh, yeah.
That's a real turnoff.
You're not a humiliation queen.
No, I also was not into being a stripper, as you know. Whenever we would go to bars in New York,
right, yeah,
and I'd always be like. That go-go boy has a mother.
You feel protective.
I do, because I used to be a social worker, so I'm always like,
oh
what is this about? Let's get you a new plan.
Let's get you a new plan.
Which is not very sex positive of me, and I don't mean to yuck your yum.
It's not my thing, you know, but as long as they're making their choice and they're happy.
Exactly.
Every case is different.
Exactly. I do think there was some of me imparting my own shame on them, which is unfair.
Well, you danced also that for pay.
It's true.
Clarification, please.
Like in theater and on stage and stuff.
Oh, it's. I guess I have done musicals. Yeah.
Yeah, you fucked them without fucking them.
Yeah, exactly.
As they might say.
By the way, I didn't dance. I stood on a platform and clapped in rhythm.
Is that Music Man? No.
I've never been guest in anything good like that.
Oh, no. You just
That's
stand
not
and
true.
Clap?
You've been a lot of great things.
This is
you're
like
a little Abner.
Oh, there you go. First of all the credits to pull that one out was shade. That was cruel.
I feel like you couldn't do Little Abner now.
Probably not.
Probably.
I mean, you could, but they shouldn't. Sure. They shouldn't put on the show.
One shouldn't.
Why is it?
Because you're so talented, they'd be lucky to have you.
But is it offensive? Is that what you mean?
Probably.
Is it? Yeah, I don't know. You were in it. I don't know it.
I can't remember.
Yeah.
Well, we've talked about getting paid and feeling like a
but
piece of
But we didn't
meat.
Talk about his movie, Greta. We were going
to
talk about Greta.
Oh, yes. I wanted to talk about Greta. I forgot about that.
You don't have to talk about Greta.
It's too late now.
I'm not in it very much.
But you're wonderful, and you play a fun, sassy waiter.
That's, by the way, every single IMDb credit I have. Actually, to be clear, I have aged into maitre d'.
Oh, excuse me.
That's what I was.
Ooh la la.
And I'm sorry, she has a reservation. I don't care if she's a homicidal maniac.
You don't have that. Your employee's back.
I don't.
Did you know, like, it was camp and Maggie, you know what I mean? Like, what was the tone you were told? You know, did you hear what the director wanted?
Oh, right, because I have the kind of role where the director sits down with me and has a big discussion about the film. I'm the kind of actor where the director speaks to me.
Right. You come with your character's journal.
Exactly. I will say, on that movie, for whatever reason, I was really high on the call sheet, and so they listed me in the credits. So now, like, I'm one of the first, I don't know, five people listed on that movie. So,
yeah.
Like, all of these Instagram things, hashtag me. And it's like, I'm barely in the movie, but also, like, it's not a real movie. And
I mean, it is a real movie.
It's not a real role. But anyway, when I did show up, because I was so high on the call sheet, they were like, what do you think your character would wear, the costume designer? And I was like, what, you tell me to? That's it.
Fair enough.
Their favorite kind of actor.
Yeah. Well, they got it.
Well, I love it. And everyone should see it.
It was great.
Speaking of movies everyone should see.
Oh, my goodness.
We're talking about Showgirls.
Boy. Yes.
John, tell us a little bit about Showgirls.
Well, hold on. Let me get that called up right here. Showgirls came out in 1995. It is an erotic drama film written by Joe Esterhaus and directed by Paul Verhoeven. Stars former teen actress Elizabeth Berkley, also Kyle MacLachlan and Gina Gershon. The film centers on a street smart drifter who ventures to Las Vegas and climbs the seedy hierarchy from stripper to showgirl. And Showgirls was the first and to date only NC-17 rated film to be given a wide release in mainstream theaters. There's a fun fact for you.
Wow.
So, Jeff, we asked you to bring in a movie. Why Showgirls? Why did you go with Showgirls?
Well, you know how you always say, as you may or may not be aware, we are looking for the gayest film ever?
Yeah, that's coming up later. Yeah.
Well, Mama was aware.
Okay. You did your homework.
I did my homework. I actually listened to this show, and I was like, you know, if I want to win.
Sure.
And first of all, okay, Muppets is not camp, but anyway,
I would hardly disagree.
I think it's incredibly
sincere. You would
hardly
disagree. It can be both.
Okay. Anyhow, I went through a huge list of movies that have positive gay portrayals, and I looked to find a character because you were always like, "What about your Mamma Mia's? What about your what about just a good gay character?" That's okay, so I needed to find a positive gay portrayal an actual out gay actor, and I found two movies.
Yeah. Okay.
Mean Girls and My Best Friend's Wedding.
Okay.
Great.
And I was like, well, if we're going to watch those, I might as well just watch Showgirls.
Right?
Also because I know this movie because John Flynn forced me to watch it.
I forced you to watch it?
Well, I had never watched it, and you were the one that
years ago,
introduced
you. So, yeah.
You pulled the curtain.
Jeff and I co-wrote a parody of Showgirls that Jeff started in New York many, many years ago. We also did it out here in L.A. So, yes, we have a long history with this movie.
So you didn't see it until it was on video?
Correct.
Well, I also had seen bits of it on that VH1. Remember when they would put the little cartoon bras on?
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah.
So I had seen parts of it. Mm. But I had not seen the whole film.
And when was the last time you had seen it since, like, before tonight?
Probably 10 years.
I would say probably for me. I don't think I've watched it since living in L.A.
Well, you didn't rewatch it when we did the show out here?
I don't think so. I think we talked about doing it, but I don't think we did.
Yeah.
So what do you think of it, though, like, as a movie? Do you enjoy watching it?
Well, I mean, it is, you know, it's not a movie you watch because it's good. Right?
Maybe. I don't know.
Oh, don't play coy. Elizabeth Berkley isn't in the room. We can all just say it. I think she can even say it now. But as I was saying as we were watching the movie, I am not very good at watching, like, bad movies.
Sure.
And so I always watch it and I'm like, this is bad. and I need to be like John and just like soak it in and be like, I love the bad.
Accept it for what it is.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they decided this was a good idea.
So what's your background with Showgirls?
So I remember seeing it the day it came out in theaters. And I remember seeing the trailer and thinking, like, that movie's going to be something. Like, I couldn't tell if it was going to be, like, great or horrible. But I was like, it's definitely going to be something.
An event.
Yes. And I remember seeing it in theaters and at first being like, oh, this is sort of cool. And then within, like, 15 minutes being like, oh, this movie is ridiculous in such a surprising way. Like, I didn't even imagine it was going to be this crazy. Imagine the first time you saw that scene with her at that diner with the French fries and the ketchup and all that. You know what I mean? Like, just being like, the first time you get that and you're just like, oh, shit, we're
in for a
ride. It's
like she's like, I don't know how to use props.
She does not. It was just amazing. And also, it was that great thing of, like, seeing it in a theater that was, I wouldn't say it was, like, packed, but it was pretty full. And, like, an entire audience being like, oh, wait a minute. That's what this is. You know what I mean? Like, it felt like as an audience, as one, we all sort of realized what movie we were watching together.
And then it was like, was it like the audiences for Cats? Where it was
sort
like,
of, yeah, there was just
which,
a lot
of
laughter.
Which, by the way,
I
still haven't seen that either.
Okay. It's not as bad, good as you want it to be. Good, bad as you want it to be. You know what I'm saying. But yeah, how about you, Mark? What is your history with
Showgirls? Well, I remember when it was coming out because my brother and sister-in-law, they knew, like, a friend of theirs from high school got cast in this movie called Showgirls, and it's from the director of Basic Instincts. I'm like, well, we all got to go see and support her.
Yes,
I can't believe you saved this until just right now. I can't believe I'm just hearing this
Who,
now.
Which person was your friend?
She's not my friend. She's one of my brothers. They went to high school. It's one of the girls in the big audition scene.
Okay, which one do you remember?
I think she's the one who needs, like, her ears done.
Oh, my God.
She's iconic.
I just
maybe
saw her.
It might be her. I could be wrong.
On IMDb, she's listed as the the nose-ear dancer.
Yeah.
Which sounds like, you know, like a bad
very weird
ENT
so imagine
doctor.
You go see a movie with your, like, high school friend in it. Like, they're, like, 5 years out of high school.
Right.
And it's Showgirls.
That's perfect. That's got to be perfect.
That's kind of like people seeing me in Greta.
That's amazing. So I saw it on video, and I used to think, yeah, it's a classic bad movie. But now I think, because I love Paul Verhoeven, the director of this mm-hmm. movie, and he always is, he's a Dutch, I believe. So yes. He's like an outsider, always looking at American culture. So if you look at Starship Troopers, RoboCop, this is like of a piece. Like this feels like the world that happens before Starship Troopers happens. So I think it's a pure satire of American capitalism. And I think it works really well. I think it's very funny and it knows it's bad, but it's like making fun of the entire world.
But let's talk about Elizabeth Berkley's performance.
Yeah. She's insane.
She's completely insane. They were hooking up during the filming of it.
Who?
Elizabeth Berkley and Paul Verhoeven.
What?
Yeah.
Scandalous.
I told you the story. This was told. So, of course, in doing the show, we had like a lot of people come in and be like, oh, I did this. Someone who like worked on makeup had a story of like, there was some day with Elizabeth Berkley where like in the morning she was shooting that scene where she was like basically naked but wearing body glitter. And then later in the afternoon, she was shooting something where she like wore kind of a dress. So like, but they had like an hour to like get rid of all the glitter that they didn't have to, but keep the glitter on that they was hidden by a dress. Does this make sense? Am I making sense? Tell me if I'm not.
You're
both
sense.
Looking at me like I'm confused. Yeah. Okay. So that right before they were going to shoot the scene, Paul Verhoeven was like, oh, I need to go. Like, we're going to have like a director-actress meeting. And he came out and he had like glitter all in his goatee because he had been going down on her.
Glitter in the goatee.
Yes.
The making of Showgirl.
There you go.
He was like a radical fairy coming back out of there. I just went to Burning Man.
Want to give her some subtext and action.
So I think it's pretty great because everyone in the movie is an asshole. Everyone's just out to win to make money
everyone
for power.
Is awful.
Sex
yeah, there's
is power.
The one redeemable character gets raped.
Yeah, and there's no romance in it. It's loveless.
Mm-hmm.
When you get to Vegas, there's like no natural life. It's all
well, that's Vegas.
Concrete. I know exactly.
Well, when are you not in Vegas?
I'm just saying it's like the movie itself is like a. It feels just like a satire of America.
Right
itself.
When before she gets in that van, and right when
yeah,
she gets
right when
out
she
of
leaves
it again.
Oh, I see.
There's a few daytime shots where they go like off the strip, but yeah, for the most part,
no plants.
No plants.
Plant-free movie.
Is that true?
Up until the beginning.
Oh God, is
end.
That one of our categories?
Is that one of our categories I didn't know about, Jeff.
More
if you
plants.
That, how many
more
plants,
plants
in this
the
movie?
Better.
So well, okay. By the way, because yes. I listen, I just want to be up front with you
oh,
right now.
You said you were going to do this.
I'm gonna give myself 100 for felt. I know I'm not gonna game the system for the others, but for that stupid category, which Tony already knows, I'm in a bitter feud with him.
You
about,
wrote a letter.
You did.
I will be giving this movie a 100.
Wow.
Okay. Well.
Because
all right.
Also, felt.
Because it was felt. You felt it.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Double meaning.
Yeah.
Sure. All right. So as you may or may not know, but sounds like you do, we are looking for the gayest movie ever.
What?
So we have a very elaborate and Byzantine scoring system up to 38 categories right now of which we're going to judge to find out if this is the gayest movie ever. So at the end, when we get through all the categories, you will add a category and it will
become canon.
Yay, Jeff.
Finally. All right. So let's quickly go through the top five.
I
you
think this,
well.
Yeah, yes. Great. Let's do the top five.
Okay. Number five, Midnight Madness, 58.97%. Number four, Addams Family Values, 61.99%. Number three, 9 to 5, 62.63%. Number two, Meet Me in St. Louis, 66.49%. And number one, reigning champ, The Muppets Ooh. Take Manhattan with 69.17%.
It's a D.
Okay.
That's a D.
It's a D.
All right, so the first category, homoeroticism. How homoerotic is Showgirls, Jeff?
Okay.
There's a lot.
It's like nothing but homoerotic scenes. I mean, it's all like from the viewpoint of a man like fantasizing about two women being together.
Like a girl's Absolutely. Gone wild.
But like every scene between, I mean, like, I don't think this would pass the Bechdel test, even though I think technically it passes the Bechdel test, where they're like talking about potato chips, but really what they're saying is, I want to kiss you and make love to you.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, you have the whole like Molly and Nomi in like the street when they have that weird mind meld.
Yeah. When they meet each other.
When they meet each other.
And then they're always tickling each other in bed.
Tickling each other. It's always.
Every time she talks to Crystal.
Yeah.
They have a genuine like romantic kiss at the end.
100%.
I would call that pornographic more than romantic.
But I would say that's the first time when like their power is equal.
Right.
Sure, sure.
So it feels genuine. All the other like kisses in this movie are just like power transfers.
Right.
True. There's that dance number where it's the two of them dancing together and they're weird sort of like Liza Minnelli
bobs. And
she's bobs.
Like, come on, slave girl.
Yep. Mm-hmm. That's very homoerotic. I mean,
all like homoerotic, but like not sexy.
Oh,
sure.
This movie is the antithesis of
right.
sexy.
Which I think is intentional, though.
I don't know if it's intentional so much as it's a happy accident.
I'll give you Paul Verhoeven, Starship Troopers,
because I think this is a piece of RoboCop.
RoboCop.
But I don't think that Esther Haas is...
But I think if you want to write a movie about a American capitalistic dystopia, you hire Joe Esther Haas. Don't tell him you're doing that. That's what he'll crank out.
So this is like a full-on like art piece.
I think it is. I think he knows exactly the movie he's making. I think he knows it's trash because I think he thinks America's trashy.
Okay. I mean, it's very Lars von Trier, Dancer in the Dark, you know?
Yeah.
Great.
I don't think he's as smart. But anyway, it's a homoeroticism. Is that where we're at? And there's also the male dancers. They get to dance a bunch.
Right. And they dance with each other.
Mm-hmm. It's very sweet.
I mean, it's really, you're right that it's an eroticism. I think it was intended to be erotic, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
It just isn't, it fails a little.
Sure.
I'm not trying to game the system, I swear.
I get it.
I just feel like this is a lot of homoeroticism. I'm going to give it a 90.
90!
I'm going to go 96.
96. I'm going to go 75.
Why just 75?
Because it's about 75% of like the most. I feel like 75, because it's not sexy, it doesn't feel like, I don't feel like they're genuinely like homosexual. I feel it's just more about dominating the other person.
Okay.
Yeah.
But there are it is homoerotic, like, you know, actions. Mm-hmm.
Right.
But I guess if there was the emotion behind it, it would be more.
It feels more amoral.
Yeah. It feels more like pornography almost.
Okay. Fair enough.
All right. Next cat. Oh, giving an average of 87. Hello. Let me do some quick calculations.
Oh, we'll never beat that kid monster movie or soldier movie.
Toy Soldiers.
Toy Soldiers has a 76.67 in homoeroticism. Showgirls has number one with 87.
Yay, girl.
All right, next category, actual gay characters.
There's a bunch. There's Marty, the choreographer.
Yes. Right.
Or he's the dance captain.
There's an actual woman named Gay.
There's an actual gay character.
That's an actual gay character.
Exactly. She
chipped
her tooth on a Quaalude.
Definitely gay.
Right. Yep. There's two gay guys dancing at the, Andrew Carver party.
And also assorted goddess. Dancers backstage.
Definitely.
But I think that's about it.
Yeah. I mean,
that's a pretty high percentage.
I mean, you could say that Nomi and Crystal are at least
that's
bisexual
true.
Or queer. I would identify both of them as queer.
They're definitely queer.
That's true.
I mean, yeah. I think that counts.
I don't think gay is
Molly's
underrepresented
queer too.
Movie.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying that these are realistic lesbians that I've met in my life.
Sure, sure.
But you've never worked a cheetah.
Not yet.
And if you did, it wouldn't be for dancing.
What is actual gay characters?
Actual gay characters.
I know you're going to be like, I'm going to say 75.
75.
I'm going to go higher because I feel like I don't feel like gay is underrepresented in this movie. I'm going to go 90.
90. We're going to go 40.
Okay.
Because, like I said before, I don't think there's like the dancers, the choreographer, but I feel like that's really about, I don't feel like anyone, I wouldn't call them like actually, I don't know. But maybe that's not my job to decide who's a lesbian, who isn't. So it's given a 68.33. Also a very high.
Okay.
Stay away from Smith College.
I plan on it. Next category, camp factor. How campy is Showgirls?
Okay, this is the John Wick 3 of shattered glass of camp.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay? Yes. Like, if you're going to list the top three campy movies, you would absolutely list Showgirls.
This, Fahrenheit 9/11, and Fahrenheit 9/12.
Yep.
Oh, my God, that Michael Moore.
That movie doesn't hold 9/12?
Up. 9/12?
That was a sequel, wasn't it? Or 12/9 or whatever. I don't know.
11/9. You would say Valley of the Dolls, Mommy Dearest, and Showgirls.
They're definitely up there. They're definitely all part of the debate.
Yeah. There's no way that we've had all of these. It's 100. Agree. It's 100. Yeah,
yeah. Any particular reason?
Elizabeth Berkley.
There's so many reasons. The thing about Showgirls that is actually impressive is that it's not like a lot of movies that are bad in a way that are entertaining for like 20 minutes and then become boring bad. Showgirls is consistently entertainingly bad.
Yes.
In a way that like I'm still engaged even though
it's not
good. The acting
is still, the dialogue is atrocious.
The lines they have to say are just crazy.
The choreography is bizarre. Everything that, I mean, almost, it's like we were watching it together, and every time the scene changed, I'd be like, oh, this scene.
Right,
every scene is shockingly
iconically weird. Yeah, yeah.
I have a list of, I usually keep a list of things that are campy as the movie goes. This is the longest I've ever made. I'll just quickly go over a few.
Sure, let's hear a few hits.
Fighting a car, immediately vomiting, getting picked up by an Elvis impersonator, fighting about who ate the chips, asking Miss Connors how old she is, spelling Crystal Connors as C-R-I-S-T-A-L, being set in Las Vegas, ladies spending the night in jail, a white limousine, a cigarello, aggressively counting out money, Tony Moss wearing an eats brace, bitchy choreographer, bitchy show producer, an orthodontist, a valet with epaulets, a dance studio, telling someone to check if you're on your period, a Jesus is coming soon neon sign, Versace appearance, cleaning off the previous girl's makeup table, dancers running up suitcases, Vegas at Christmas, a ring with hidden cocaine, toasting with crackers, champagne at lunch, lipstick on a champagne glass, a little girl bursts into tears after hearing the F word, a boat show, shaving your legs in a robe, fake jewels rolling across a shiny black stage, a Ferrari Testarossa, neon palm trees, sex in a pool, using waterfall as a metaphor for coming, telling the show producer to eat me, making a makeup table your own, an office with wood paneling, motorcycles on a stage, bad blood between scene partners, suggesting Paula Abdul for a role, and reading a woman her rap sheet.
I have a couple more. When Crystal gets pulled away, she's like, what do I do with my feet?
They're like sickle bricks.
Also those terrible wigs that they have to wear for the show.
Oh, so terrible. Oh, so I guess it's a hundreds across the board?
I think it's a hundreds across the board.
It has to be.
All right. Crashing back down to Earth. Makeover montage.
Oh, no. This should be a yes or a no.
It should be, but right now it isn't.
There's a little bit of
her
going to
there. There kind of is a makeover montage. When she, it's not a montage.
It sort of is, where they go like, shoes, dress, thing. I want to buy that dress. And they go to Versace.
Oh, I was thinking before she goes on, how they're like, all like very quickly
backstage,
putting
you
her
mean?
On, yeah.
Oh,
sure. And she's like,
but that's not a montage.
Like,
that's real time.
That's why I said it's not a montage.
Yeah. I don't think there is one.
Is there
I was looking at this?
No,
if you had asked me before I saw this, is there a makeover on montage in Showgirls? I would have said, gotta be.
It's gotta be.
But there isn't. It's all pretty much happens in real time, every scene.
Yeah.
Basically a documentary.
It's basically a documentary.
Yeah, I'm going to give it a little points for that one chopping sequence, but it's not a lot.
What are you going to give it, Jeff?
Well, I do feel like she had a makeover, but it's just, it wasn't really in a montage.
She got a dress.
No, I'm not. I'm talking about like...
Overall?
No. Like, I'm talking about like when they are like, really quickly, get costume because you're going on tonight.
If they had shown her like doing the make, doing the eyes, doing the nails,
well, she does,
the clothes.
Well, she does.
She does
do
I mean?
Her eyes and but then like they put the wig on her and then they put the thing on her, but it's not a montage.
It's not a montage.
So I'm going to give it a 25.
25.
Yeah, I'll give it a 30.
30. I'm going to give it a 0.
Okay.
Shocker.
Well, call him as a see him.
Wow.
Or don't
see
him. I
love that you're like, the part that you're really, like, it's not about, like, the glamorousness of the gay movie. It's about, like, how does it cut together?
Yeah. I appreciate that stuff. How does it cut together? Mm-hmm. That's pretty gay.
Sure.
Touche.
All right. Next category. Over the top wardrobe.
I mean, what's funny about this is that it's so over the top, and yet there's almost no wardrobe.
What do you mean?
And yet they're just naked for so much of it.
First of all, when she shows up in her quote unquote Pollyanna look, which is
not Pollyanna,
the sluttiest Pollyanna I have ever seen, and she's like, "Oh, I look too corn fed or whatever," and so she goes and she just happens to have a pair of G-string fishnet stockings on underneath.
As you do.
Yeah.
You know, when you go to that audition, Jeff, you bring 5 pairs of shoes. You don't know what they're going to ask you to do.
And then she's like, I'm going to take my top off and just wear my bra, which completely supports my breasts, but isn't a sports bra at all.
No. So many metallic fabrics. Such a real 90s time capsule.
When they put makeup on and it doesn't cover up their eyes, but they still have all of the like studs on their eyes.
Oh, yeah.
When she's taking off all of her hair pieces at the very top. Like call me Crystal.
The clothes they aren't wearing as showgirls are just as insane as the show's wardrobe.
Exactly. Yeah, there's no difference.
They're casual
all of
wear.
The stinking cowboy hats that she's always wearing.
So many.
Or like that one piece costume that she can't, when she's like, did you have sex with him for the part?
Oh yeah, that weird
like a Charlie's Angel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, and it looked like it was from ASOS, which I own some things from ASOS, but the fabrics are not the highest quality.
No,
I'm gonna give it a 95.
95
for over the top wardrobe. Yeah, I'm gonna go 97.
97. I'll go 94.
Okay.
Pretty high, giving it a 95.33. Not as high as How the Grinch Stole Christmas, unfortunately.
Okay. All right.
But that makes sense.
Just a few more fake noses.
Yeah. All right, next category. On a scale of 0 to 100, does Showgirls hold up?
Okay, this question I thought about.
This is all right, what's the debate?
So,
is there a debate?
When we're watching this movie, are we saying like, well, yes, this is exactly how people still act today as when they acted in 1995. But here's the thing, is that that's not how people acted in 1995.
Sure,
either.
Correct.
I mean, it was shocking even then. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to say it does hold up because I'm looking at it as a satire in the kind way.
Like it's not going for realism.
Right.
Correct.
Or just like a camp failure.
Right.
So I say 90.
90.
What would you say like doesn't hold up? Like there's is there...
Well, there's the rape scene. That is like a real bummer of a scene. Like, I feel like that is the bummer for me in Showgirls. Like you're watching, having a good time and laughing, and then there's like a really fucking, it's brutal. The
brutal
rape scene.
In a way that it doesn't need to.
Overly intense.
So it's too much. Like we don't need that rape scene. There's another way to, there's other ways to like have Molly hit a low point.
Right.
Maybe her business is cut out. There's like, it's just too, it takes the fun. It's like a very real, too real, too raw, too much.
Well, it's because the sound is so.
Well, and also it's violent. She gets punched in the face.
Yeah, it's like, and
it's also just so confusing because it's like, why does, like, it's so, she's the one good character in the whole movie. There's that.
That's Vegas for you, I guess.
I mean, I guess in that could have been his.
And I also feel like it is trying to critique, like, the male gaze, like how men look at women, but it can't do that without participating in it itself.
And being an NC-17 movie.
Yeah,
right.
So it kind of, like, it could have been shot maybe a little. Because it's pretty horny, the camera for the ladies.
Well, not in that scene. I mean,
not in that scene.
But, I mean,
and Mama's fat jokes are just like kind of like, ugh, have a little. I feel like now she'd be roasting the audience.
Well, that was what was. But that's the whole thing is that, like, I think even at that time, even in the 60s, you would roast the audience. What comedian do we know who's just constantly being like, I'm in your face to tell you a joke about how I'm ugly.
I'm unfuckable.
Bill Maher, sure.
Right. If there's one comedian who's not a narcissist, it's Bill Maher.
What would you give it for Does It Hold Up?
I'll give it a 92.
92. I got to give it a 50.
Okay.
Because I feel the stuff that is cringy is pretty cringy.
I guess. I feel like it was also cringy at the time, but I understand where you're coming from.
It's too much, I feel like. It's too much.
But there's a part of me that feels like I 100% agree it's too much. I 100% agree the movie doesn't like earn or deserve like the level of like reality or grittiness that that is supposed to be. But part of me feels like without it, it's not Showgirls.
I mean,
that
that's true, but so for me, there's a part of me that Showgirls doesn't hold up.
Okay, fair.
That's the part of the ridiculous mess that is Showgirls.
Sure.
Like a Las Vegas buffet. That cake will be good, but avoid the crab legs.
Unless they just come out.
Then they're fine.
They're fine.
I would say that that rape is so over the top that it becomes like unfathomable or unrealistic or not.
I don't know.
Not, well.
Either way, it has a 77.33. So drag queen inspiration on a scale of 0 to 100.
I've literally seen a Crystal Connors drag queen.
How much think
we all have?
She was okay, actually.
Okay, that's not the word you want to hear for a Crystal Connors drag queen.
She was just okay.
Okay, sure. She's just starting out.
I figure there's got to be whole shows of...
Definitely.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
There is literally a whole show of
Crystal Connors, all of Nomi.
Well, no, it's just like a showgirls in drag show.
Yeah, there's tons of them.
Like, who do? They do Mama, probably.
Yeah.
No, they do the whole show.
They do the
in
whole
drag.
Show in drag.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Like lip syncing to the movie?
I'm sure there probably is one version of that. Scenes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm sure.
It's like campy. Like,
yeah.
A showgirls drag show is campy? What are you talking about? Respect the texts. So, what would you give this for drag queen inspiration?
I mean, 100.
Yeah, 100. You have to go 100, I feel.
I think you do have to go 100. Alrighty. I would agree with you. Hundreds across the board. Mm-hmm. Eat shit, parasite.
What did that get? I haven't heard that one yet.
22.67.
I could maybe see a... anyway, yeah. I'll save that for their episode.
Yeah, it's coming.
Mm-hmm.
Or they heard it.
Right, they already heard it.
All right, next category. Caper music on a scale of 0 to 100.
Now, here's what I was thinking. If you consider the lap dance as a caper...
I mean, in a sense.
Which you can.
You're after that dollar, I guess.
Yeah. You're up to something, and it's no good.
It's a trick of a sort.
Sure, sure, definitely. A little sneaky.
Definitely sneaky.
Then I think you definitely have a strong case for good caper music in this movie.
It's very intense.
Like, yes.
Like, what genre is the score of this? Like, booming drums, strings. It's like Con Air.
But it's also like, that can be found for free on a Casio.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wait, what was it?
Caper
music. Oh, caper music.
But also, like, when you think of, like, the music that plays when Nomi's, like, getting her revenge, like, that's fun.
Right.
I think Goddess itself, the show, is a caper.
Well, when the, like, murder or whatever happened.
Oh, sure. Happened. Yes. The marbles.
Suspense.
Sure, sure.
And she's like, I can't see. I can't see.
Perched up on somebody.
Right. I can't see where the stones have fallen. I don't know. 70?
70. I'm going to go 85.
Oh. 85. I'll go 65.
Okay.
Pretty capery.
Great.
All right.
I wasn't sure about that one.
Next category, teamwork.
I think this is pretty high when you figure everyone backstage working together for the show.
It is, but they're also all backstabbing each other constantly.
But the show always comes first.
I don't think that's true.
Well,
I don't think you would have thrown jewels on the stage if the show comes first.
I mean, they are pretty cutthroat.
They are pretty cutthroat. You're right about that.
Like, I have to say, does this present a world, does the showgirls present the world of Las Vegas showgirls as a positive place where teamwork flourishes? I would say no.
Maybe the monkeys.
Do these shows still exist there?
Yeah, there's like Jubilee.
The Jubilee is a big
Jubilee.
One.
But isn't that Cirque du Soleil or whatever?
No, probably. Jubilee's not Cirque du Soleil. That's like an old classic Vegas show.
Oh.
But it is mostly Cirque shows.
I'm sure they've added like aerial stunts to it now. You get those people for a dime a dozen.
Right.
But basically the show motorcycle. Is just like to walk around and see topless ladies.
Yeah.
It just seems like such an old-fashioned idea.
Like
when
an old-fashioned thrill.
In the thing of porn.
Post-internet.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's another thing millennials
are. But it's more of
ruining.
A family thing now.
Las Vegas showgirl shows. That and Buffalo Wild Wings.
I'm sorry, I forgot the category again. What
teamwork.
Is it?
Teamwork.
Oh, teamwork.
Oh. I mean, there's James Smith and his dancers. They put together that dance number.
Yeah, but he also betrays Nomi.
Well,
sure, sure.
I think what it is that they all work together, but they're also totally willing to sacrifice
and ruthless.
Everyone.
Yeah.
Because except for Molly and Nomi, they seem to sort of be an actual unit.
And Mama's got Nomi's back.
That's true.
Yeah.
Henrietta.
Yeah.
I think there's a sisterhood, especially at the Cheetah. Which
there's
is
a
like
sisterhood.
A
yeah, she's like,
cheetah.
Y'all want to go get smoke some grass?
Get some Thai. Ooh, I love Thai.
Definitely the Cheetah more than Goddess.
Yeah.
True. But
45.
It's more like artistic.
45?
Yeah.
I'm going to say 65.
Oh, man.
65. I'll go 40.
Okay.
That's mostly for the Cheetah Girls.
Fair, fair.
This one's for you, Cheetah Girls.
Holla, my Cheetah Girls.
All right, next category.
Except for Penny.
On a scale of 0 to 100, how likely are you to recommend this to gay people? Your little nephew Zachary comes up to you, tags on your pants, say, Uncle Jeff, I found out what Bellamy videos are, and I like them.
But what is
Bellamy? Those Czech twinks.
Bellamy. Well, if he's been watching Bellamy, he's got. Oh, I mean, this is 100. Yeah, I mean, if a gay person told you they hadn't seen Showgirls, wouldn't you be like, oh my God, we have
you
to
go say, home? Yeah, what are you doing here?
Yeah, I'm 100 as well.
100. I mean, you literally did show. Recommend it to a gay person.
Mm-hmm.
Recommend to a straight person.
I've done that too.
Recommend it to a stranger.
Pets.
What are you giving it?
100.
Of course.
Is this giving it the highest? No, it is currently tied with Adam's Family Values. You know what? Fair.
Fair, fair. Fair.
All right, next, the aforementioned on a scale of 0 to 100. How much felt is in Showgirls?
100.
Based on what, Jeff?
The stupid category. This is social justice.
There was a lot of cowboy hats, which we were.
This is not my nonviolent protest.
I don't think you have to make of that. The booths, the lap dances.
Those were felty.
Andrew Carver's coat.
That was a felty coat.
Crystal's cowboy hat.
A lot of cowboy hats. Not just Crystal.
Nomi brings Molly a stuffed animal.
She brought that little stuffed animal.
Totally. 100.
100.
I'm going to go 87.
87. I'm going to go 65. There's a lot of felt, mostly for the booths.
Sure, sure.
Just for square footage.
Exactly, yeah. Bang for your buck.
All right, next category on scale of 0 to 100. How much facial hair is in Showgirls?
Okay, so here we go.
Andrew Carver.
Andrew Carver's got the beard. James Smith has the goatee.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
And here's what I'm going to say. Now, I know some people are going to push back against this.
Jeff.
But some people are going to go with me on this. Kyle MacLachlan's hair is so constantly in his face. Even though it is coming from the top of his head, it feels like facial hair. Like he's constantly covering one eye.
Does it really feel
it does.
Like facial
to
hair?
To me, it feels
John.
Like facial hair. I'm going to give it some points for the fact that like Kyle MacLachlan's right eye is
bangs.
In like half of the movie.
I mean, I will say that no one leaves this movie and doesn't comment on his hair.
Exactly. And it's in his face.
And it's because it's so in
facial
his face.
Facial hair. Thank you.
I'll 60.
60.
I'm going 87.
87?
Yes.
Come on.
That is a fair and accurate assessment.
It is not. I'm going to go 40.
There's also a lot of people in the strip club, a lot of mustaches.
Yeah.
The guy who like goes around and goes, I want to see your ass. He's got a full beard.
I give it 15 for Carver, 15 for James, and then 10 for the background.
Okay. I like your math.
Next category, shattered glass.
There's a bunch of shattered glass.
Is there?
Yes, there's a lot of like pushing. There was when they're at the boat show, she pushes the glass out of that guy's hands.
Oh, that's true.
She throws a lot of glass. She throws a lot of glass in this movie. There's a lot of shattered glass in this movie. There also was those baubles. Those were glassy and shattered.
They didn't shatter.
Yes, they did. They broke. Some of them broke.
No.
Yes, they did. When that stagehand comes out, he's like, here they are. And there's some broken pieces in there.
I will say she's always running out of a room after knocking someone's drink over.
Yeah.
Sure.
And like after the boat show, yeah, she knocks over but then she like also like knocks. There's so many stormaways that I can't remember which part it happened in where she's storming away and she like knocks the lady's drink over and she's like.
Oh, was it like the woman in the office?
No, I don't know.
It was like I think it was at the party, at the opening night party.
It's like every five minutes.
Yeah,
it really is. She storms away a lot. I'm gonna give it a 70.
70.
It's no John Wick 3.
Certainly not. I'm gonna give it an 82.
82. I'm gonna give it a 38. Okay. I didn't think there was that much. Next category, the male gaze. How horny is the camera for the male form in this movie?
The camera gives you some eye candy.
He knows what he's doing.
I mean, I will say that Kyle MacLachlan's butt is...
When he's walking into the pool?
In that pool, that's
it's
nice.
It's like a work of art.
Do you think that's a stunt butt?
No, I think that's his butt.
Or do you just not want to think it's a stunt?
Both.
I want to believe.
But also the next morning when he rolls over in bed.
Yeah, you get a little butt there.
A little cheeky.
Yeah. And you can tell he wears a Speedo instead of a long trunk.
Or might be jockey briefs.
Oh, but he tans in them?
Yeah, why not?
Oh.
Fun.
Who's going to change into a swimsuit to tan? I've never gone tanning.
Me neither.
You'd wear like a 20s bathing suit to a tanning booth. Yeah.
And also, like in Goddess, the guys are in chaps or G-strings.
Yeah.
The camera doesn't linger on their bodies the way it lingers on the women's bodies.
You could definitely tell the difference.
Yeah. You can.
But there's also like Andrew Carver before she kicks the shit out of
him. Sure. But in terms of like moments, there's like one an hour of men where in.
I don't know. James Smith has
one
a bunch
every
of
five
nice
minutes
too.
Of women being.
If there had
sure.
been, if there had been no naked women in this movie would score super high.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
But in comparison to the women, it is like. Okay, you're really lingering on the ladies in a gross way. Yeah, so. Yeah.
But do you feel like that's not representative of Vegas?
Or America?
Thank
sure.
you.
Thank you.
So what are you going to
give 100
for male gaze?
85. Just for Kyle MacLachlan's butt, which I, every time we did the show, they would show the pool scene and I'd angle to see that butt.
Sure.
For the remember for later. I'm going to go 91.
91. I'll go 65.
Okay.
Just those two shots, really.
Sure, sure.
All right, next category. Angry phone hang-ups.
There were a bunch.
There actually are. That's the only way Kyle MacLachlan knows how to hang up the phone.
Yeah. He did a lot of angry phone hang-up
Very
acting.
Angry phone hang-ups.
With the old like cell phone, with like a flip phone.
Yep.
You can't do Very that nowadays. Nope. You can't do that with an iPhone.
He really enjoyed flipping it. But then like there was something wrong with the phone and it kept flipping back. I bet he was really
mad. He
got
really
about
angry.
That.
It's like another level of anger. He
wrote a letter to Motorola, probably.
Yeah, exactly. And then she hangs up.
Yeah, she's like going to make a phone call. And he's like, I know who you are. Your mother killed your father and then herself.
She's like,
oh, so angry.
But she hangs up with just her fingers. Not
delicately.
She did it twice. She did first with the fingers and then the phone. But again, I think also with this movie, I know, like we talked about a lot, there's so many things that were like angry phone hangups.
That's
like, every
so
time
true.
She leaves the room, it's like an angry phone hangup.
I think you have
hangup.
Enough actual angry phone hangups.
No, but I'm just saying
that
like just
that
talking
like
about
angry.
How like it is. I feel like it's a point of interest and it's worth discussing.
I mean, it is one of the crazy things of this film is how many times she explodes at these people.
Yeah. She's a live wire.
She really is.
Except for that she's
just, a caged
she's
animal.
Only that one note. So like,
sure.
It's not like she, yeah.
But aren't you, would Showgirls be as memorable if she wasn't at 110
no,
throughout
no.
the whole movie?
Oh, absolutely not.
I think it's great.
It's amazing.
But it's also bizarre. It's not how humans
sure.
act.
No, if I don't want to watch how humans act in Showgirls. So what would you give this for angry phone hangups, Jeff?
80.
80.
I'm going to go 87.
87. I'll go 80. Why not? Sure. There's so
Why
many.
Not?
Giving an 82.33, second only to Meet Me in St. Louis, which has a 93.
What a surprise.
Yeah. All right.
Poor Scream.
Next category, titular theme song, where there's tits.
There's tits.
But no.
There's sort of that theme for Goddess, like the Goddess theme.
There is a titular theme song, I guess, but this, I guess we can make that argument. There is a titular theme song,
sure.
But this movie doesn't have a titular theme song.
They're not like Showgirls.
No.
You're watching Showgirls.
Although the theme song for Goddess is about Showgirls, I
That's true.
Guess.
Yeah.
But I think within the movie, there's a titular theme song. I think you can make a case for that. There
Absolutely.
Is a titular theme song.
Right.
Yeah.
So, but it wouldn't be.
But
it's
not
like Smile. Right. So
what is?
I'll say 65.
65. Is this movie really so different from Smile, though?
Kind of I don't know. After I heard that podcast, I was like, I'll watch it because y'all said it was streaming free somewhere. And I started it and I was like, I'm not going to watch this.
I'm going to give it 80.
80. I'll give it a 60 just for the Goddess theme, the meta one. All right, next category, entrances with pizzazz.
I mean, she comes out of a goddamn volcano.
Twice, well, two ladies
times.
Come out of
also,
volcanoes.
Also, like, Nomi Malone cannot enter a scene without, like, running. Like, she doesn't know how to walk.
She doesn't just slide into it.
I mean, like, talk about extra. I mean, she is.
Also, there's also that one number where Crystal comes from. She enters from the wings, just, like, hanging.
Right, and then explodes the volcano. And
I think anytime you have an announcer saying, ladies and gentlemen,
that's
Jeff
pizzazz.
Miller, that's pizzazz.
That's pizzazz.
Also, like when she's in the cheetah and she's all like, every time she comes out, she's like, ha!
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. She really, she's like
a
tigress.
Cheetah.
Yeah. And And every time Crystal's there, it's always like she turns around and you just see her ass, and then she like reveals herself to the camera. Or when she walks into the empty stage and there's no one there, but all of the stage lights are on.
Which happens all the time in Broadway.
Yeah. Totally. That's exactly how theater is.
This is Vegas.
But it happens in Broadway too.
Sure.
Right?
They're the same thing.
I'm going to say 95.
95.
I'm going to go 98.
98. I'll go 95. Pretty pizzazzy.
Pretty pizzazzy.
You know, you want pizzazz, you go to Vegas.
You got to go to Vegas for pizzazz.
All right. Next category, non-traditional murder weapons.
Okay.
So I guess all we could go with are the little beads or also the staircase.
The staircase. There also was at the beginning where the guy who picked her up hitchhiking like almost cut off a truck as a way to like threaten her to like not.
He was trying to murder her though. That wasn't
he
like
was
murder.
Like scared. There was like
that was like was, comedic.
I don't think it was comedic. I think it was a power move, and I think he was trying to be like, "Hey,
it did make her put away her knife.
Put her knife away."
Well, because he's like, "Oh, you," because then she like punches him in the shoulder. And it's
I mean,
like,
that, the yeah. like
that
if
relationship.
If you were to like track the dynamics of their
the emotional
relationship, it's like it makes no sense.
You want to murder him? Then he's like your brother.
Exactly.
And then you bond
kook.
Over Garth Brooks. Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah, that's pretty weird.
But I think the staircase is a pretty big
also.
One.
She murders Andrew Carver with. A dance
with
a high
boots.
Heel.
That heel.
Oh, yeah, with like a
those
thigh high boots.
Nipples. Yep.
With Miss Incredible boots. Elastigirl yeah. boots.
Oh, poor Molly. Kind of. That's kind
it's
of a
high.
Good case for me.
Yeah.
86.
You biting your nails. There's no authority that's going to come yet. This is safe. It's
I know, but I'm just waiting for you to be like 86 on the basis of what?
I'm going to go 92.
92. I'll go 75.
Okay.
Pretty non-traditional. All right, next category, breath acting.
Oh, God.
There's a ton in this.
There's also a lot of breath dancing.
Yes.
You guys have theater backgrounds. How would you describe this style of choreography?
So the style of choreography is very like, it's very...
is this jazz? When people say I'm taking a jazz class?
No.
Is this
I
what, this is what
like
I imagine what happens.
A jazz class?
This is
no.
what I think a jazz class is like.
The choreography in this movie is very just like hitting poses. Like it's not for people who are dancers.
Well, we're post Vogue.
Yeah, but I mean, it's like
it's not
more
nearly
like,
as beautiful as Vogue.
No, I'm not saying it is.
Like it's very like it's there's not like a lot of fluidity to it. It's like hit this beat, hit this
like staccato.
It's
aggressive.
Also the same
staccato.
Like five moves,
yeah.
over and over again, where
and
they just hold
very,
their
like,
arms in a crazy pace and then put their head through their arms and go ha.
That happens a lot.
And or hit their crotch.
Yeah.
But
there's a lot of dancing like there's VD. They're trying to dance off their crotch.
VD? Right? What are you, my grandma?
Get a shot, honey.
I would also say that Nomi does a lot of like, I'm so mad.
Yeah. There's that part when she had that scene with Crystal where she just snorted. Remember that?
I pointed out the snort.
I said, this is breath acting coming up right here.
Any sex scene, like her wildly grinding? She's definitely a power bottom, I think it's safe to say.
Uh-huh. Sure. Yeah.
When she had her first mainstream power bottom.
I think she
the
might be.
Well,
no,
except for Lady Bird Johnson.
Yes.
Oh my God, Lady Bird.
So what would you give this for breath acting?
Power bottom. I think I'm going to go high, like 95.
95.
Yeah, I'm going 97. It's really high.
97. Yeah, I mean, I don't have a case against it. 95. Give it a 95.67. Eat shit, meet me in St. Louis.
Wow.
Wait, eat shit. Isn't that what Lady Bird Johnson used to do?
She does.
A true power bottom.
Poor woman. She made no billboards in Texas. She did wonderful things.
Next category. But the first lady is a bottom. Mannequins.
There were mannequins in this movie.
There were like three mannequins.
There's a bunch of mannequins in this movie.
When three. She goes to Versace.
She yeah. sees them
it's
in the
iconic. It's an iconic moment.
Don't you love a gold, shiny gold mannequin?
I know. Headless. Store,
it really lets the garment speak for itself.
Remember when there are chrome mannequins and Terminator 2 has a chrome mannequin?
Sure.
I also felt like that was not the same dress that she wore because the dress that on the
was.
Mannequin was like a much lower hem.
Yes.
Maybe it's just she has such long
legs.
She has
such long
they
legs.
They tailored it, maybe. That's Versace for you. They'll tailor it.
Right. It looked so much chicer on the mannequin than it did on her.
Well, that you're meant to feel bad about your body. That's what the fashion industry wants.
It felt like a longer hem is what I'm saying.
So what are you going to give this for mannequins?
60. No, I got it. I got mine.
You got the tone you wanted. I'm going 75.
75 for three mannequins?
It's an iconic moment. It is literally one of the biggest memes of Showgirls, and this was a movie that came out before memes because of this moment. So, yes.
Uh-huh.
When they needed
50.
Mannequins, they are there, and they
are
showing
up. I'll give it a 50.
Okay.
Giving it a 50.
Also, you could make the case that some of the acting is mannequin-like.
Thank you.
Mannequins with like electric eels attached to them. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like electrified mannequins. Yeah. I've never seen that movie, that mannequin movie that y'all saw.
Oh, Tourist Trap? It's fun. Do it around Halloween.
It's fun, yeah.
Next category, dramatic lighting.
So
I mean,
much.
It's Paul Verhoeven.
Paul Verhoeven.
The guy knows how to shoot a movie. Widescreen is his format, his medium.
There's also so much lighting canvas. that's like it's like meta lighting. It's like practical
within
dramatic
the
lighting.
Show.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like all the fire elements for the show.
Or
the,
at the pool.
Stuff. The pool.
Like everything is so over the top, yet at the same time, really ugly.
Yes.
Which is like,
it's hard to do that.
Which is amazing. I think it is like, this is America. It's America.
It's also, especially it's Vegas, especially.
Yeah. And what's more American than Las Vegas?
Truly.
96.
I will go 96 as well.
96. I'm going to go 100. I feel like this is about as dramatic as it gets.
Okay.
Mark.
So you guys are the wild ones.
Oh, queen.
All right. Next category. Strident women on a scale of 0 to 100.
This one is insane.
Well, I'm really knocking this out of the park right now. Am I right? I mean, do we even have to list? Like, they're every,
all of them.
Everyone but Molly.
Strident humans. It's every single person is wretched.
But like, especially like that, what's her name, Annie, that one dancer who's like, fuck you, shut your fucking kid.
That's
fuck
a terrible stereotype.
She's horrible. That's something that did not age well.
That's true, yeah. But like, she's a strident woman.
Everyone
All the dancers are.
Even the woman that hurts her is strident. Gay is pretty strident.
Gay is pretty strident. Nomi,
Crystal.
Henrietta, she's no
Mama?
Kitten. Yeah, Mama.
Henrietta, yeah.
Oh, that's her name, Henrietta.
Yeah, Henrietta.
She was. I felt bad for her. She felt like how was she's kind of reminds me of like Edith Massey.
Yeah.
Sure. Like, how is she going to take care of herself when she's older? That's the character of Mama, not the
sure,
actress.
Sure.
But all
she's
talks is and quips. I was like, are you okay? Are you present? Are you here?
That's
like,
how she makes
she's
her
not,
turn
she's,
it off.
She seems shut down. She needed
definitely
like intense therapy.
Ugh, poor Henrietta.
She
poor
needed Henrietta. A tenant stick and she knew it.
So what are you going to give this for strident women?
100.
I mean,
I kind of can't think of any other movie that has more strident.
Yeah.
John?
I'm saying 100.
100? I'm going to give it 100 as well.
Okay.
Clean sweep. Number one in strident women, Showgirls.
Yay?
With 100. Followed only by Adam's Family Values. No, sorry. Number Chicago 97.33. Sure.
Well, that's true.
That makes sense.
All right, next category, fun fonts on scale 0 to 100.
There's a bunch, like the logo stuff I think is fun. There's all those Vegas like
a lot of posters,
all that fun
stuff.
The billboard when she's going out of town for whatever reason they're advertising the show as you head out of Vegas. I mean, not to make a case against my own movie, but it does seem like the fonts were, I mean, like the, it felt very 90s, which I guess is fun. It's just not something I like. 80. I don't know.
80.
I don't know where I'm coming from
That's
on that.
That's okay. I'll go 85. 85. I'll go 75. The end credits are pretty iconic 1995
yeah, definitely.
Credits. You've seen them at every coffee shop and every sad strip mall. I feel like it's a lot of dental offices like them.
Sure, definitely.
All right, next category, cheerworthy cameos on a scale of 0 to 100. John, what did you want to invent for this?
Okay, here's my inventions. I have two pitches. They're both, I would
admit, I have
admit,
some inventions too.
Pretty soft pitches. They keep saying, hey, have you ever heard Caesar sing? You're going to love him. And then Caesar comes out and sings at that party for
Nomi.
Oh,
that's true.
So that is like within the world of Showgirls, that is a cheerworthy cameo.
Okay.
Also, my other pitch, very different vein, Nomi's nipples. They don't always come out because she has to get the ice. It's because she needs the ice, so the nipples are not actually like where they're not show ready.
So you're cheering when the show producer tells her
when
to
the nipples
ice
come
nipples
out. You're like, yes, Nomi, now you can hit that stage.
You're cheering when that happens?
Sure. I mean, for the character's growth, for what it represents for the
her
character.
Her growth?
For what it represents, exactly, literally
to be
her growth.
Exploited?
Her nipple, but just like it allowed her to perform. Like, that's what she needed to be on stage. That was
now,
the last piece missing.
Here's my pitch.
Okay.
And it's, weak. But when they say, like, who they could have gotten, and they say,
oh, yes,
we could have had LaToya, we could have had Suzanne, we could have had
Janet Jackson, Paula Abdul.
Janet Jackson and Paula Abdul.
They are not doing Goddess.
No. I mean, if American Idol had not come along, she might have done it, Paula. Anyway, go on.
Maybe, I guess. Janet Jackson, though. But there is something that is, I mean, I did cheer at that. And it wasn't a face cameo, but it was a name cameo.
All right. Okay, sure. So what are
you
going to give it?
Because this is a gradient thing on a score of 0 to 100.
Absolutely.
As opposed to a yes or no.
Uh-huh.
Binary. I'm going to say 25.
25.
I'm going to say, because of the Caesar and because of your thing about the name cameos, I'm going to go 75.
I wish you had gone first. I would have been bolder.
The only thing that I liked was there's a David Bowie song on the soundtrack. I'm Afraid of Americans. Yet another indictment of our culture.
Sure.
And there's a Prince song. So I'll give a 25 for those two.
For musical cameos.
Musical cameos.
Great.
All right. Next category. Memorial moments. Is there a moment where they think about poor Joffrey? He loved his jigsaws and Tex-Mex.
There was that moment when Nomi leaves the cheetah. And Henrietta, Mama, grabs her and she goes, God damn it, you're the only one who can get my tits popping right. And that feels definitely like remember the good times.
I feel
had.
Like it's more, for me, the bigger one was when he's reading a rap sheet to her, when you find out her entire backstory.
Oh, that's more of an angry
that
moment.
That felt more like
but
a
yeah,
memorial,
definitely,
yeah.
Sure.
Well, when Kyle because Molly isn't dead, so that doesn't count? Like where she's like sitting over Molly and mourning her? And
oh, sure, that too.
That could count as well.
Well, she doesn't
I also think
dead.
When Henry and no. Al come back and see her and they're sort of like, must be weird not having everybody come on you.
Right.
That's like a real memorial moment.
The death
so.
Of her cheetah.
Yeah. She's no longer that girl. That
I
Heather.
Would put that
Heather
more into
dead.
The mother issues or whatever.
We're getting
sure,
there.
Sure, sure. We're getting there.
60.
Just because that line to me is so iconic of, God damn it, you're the only one who gets my tits popping right. I'm going to go 85.
85. So that's something that reminds you of thinking of those we've lost.
Yes, definitely. Think of like these times, this past. It's
she
like,
might have
she
lost her tits yeah. a popping.
She didn't because we see her do them right away.
Right
after
every dress she has.
That.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
True.
So
true.
I think it's just something she says. I'm going to give it a 25.
Okay.
Giving an average of 56.67.
Okay.
Not too bad. Oh, tied with Submarine.
Oh.
All right, next category. Is there a song that puts you in your feels?
Yes, it's called When We Walk Into the Wind.
What song is that?
That's the Andrew Carver
the
song.
Andrew Carver
oh, that puts
song.
You in your feels?
Yeah.
Why? How so?
It's very like Guns N' Roses, very like November Rain. It's very like...
Plus, she has that moment where she's sitting on the hood
of
her car
and listening to it,
eating
solo.
Her French fries and looking at the Riviera.
Burger, yeah.
Simpler times.
So... Yeah. 70.
70.
I'm going to go 77.
77. I'll go 50, and it's only for I'm Afraid of Americans, because that song does put me in my field.
All right. There you go.
Listen to the Nine Inch Nails remix. Mm-hmm. It's great. All right. Next category.
This seems like a lot of money to be. Well, I guess they spent a lot of money on this movie. It just
yeah.
didn't turn out
I
well.
I think you could afford songs back then.
No, yeah.
So much.
Macabre. How macabre is Showgirls?
It's pretty macabre.
It is.
It's pretty cavalier with like there's loose with like there's no one really cares for each other that much.
Oh,
so I
that's
feel like
true.
No one really cares if they got hit by a train the next day. I feel like
it's like super cynical.
Yeah,
yeah
she puts lipstick on her nipples.
That's macabre.
That's pretty macabre.
That
before she murders,
be.
Before she like goes to like before she goes to get revenge on someone. That's pretty macabre.
Ask not for who the nipple shakes.
Her just very pale base. That feels very macabre.
That kind of does, actually.
The one leather number in Goddess is kind of
yeah.
macabre.
Oh, yeah.
The BDSM, the S&M one.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I think just overall the fact that everyone is a monster. Everyone is just shallow and not only shallow, selfish, but like goes out of their way to be hateful.
To be the worst version of themselves.
Yes.
At all moments.
And then when you find out the whole reason why is because her parents died in a murder-suicide.
Right.
Wow. Is this movie good?
I'd say yes.
90.
What is it again?
I didn't expect
macabre?
That.
Yeah, it's pretty macabre to me. I'm going 94.
94. I'll go 80. It's pretty macabre.
Yeah.
Giving it an average of 88.
Okay.
All right, next category. On a scale of 0 to 100, vibrato. How much would you rate the vibrato of...
Well, of course,
John, tell us what vibrato is.
Well, vibrato, in addition to actual literal vibrato, it's also anything extra, anything sort of zhuzhy or something.
I know. For the folks at home. Anyway.
You don't know. This is your first episode.
Mama's a loyal listener.
You got Caesar singing.
Yeah. Well, Mama is all.
Would you say all of Elizabeth Berkley's performance is like extra?
Every frame of
and
this movie.
Everybody's performance. Extra. Yeah. Is like over the top and ridiculous.
There's wailing brass.
I mean, not only is it such a vibrato in the extra sense, but like also he goes, see ya.
Yeah. You talking about Tony Moss, the show producer?
He's
see like
ya.
A character from the 30s.
Yeah. He is.
I don't care. Amazing. Live or die.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. He's great.
Yeah, the ears are sticking out. They are. Come back and see me when you fixed them.
There's a lot of overlap with the executives in RoboCop for Army Corp.
Mm-hmm.
95.
Yeah, what is this one again?
Vibrato.
Vibrato.
Follow along.
99. Sorry. 99.
I'll give it a 95 as well. Pretty vibrato-y.
Mm-hmm.
All right, next category. Wigs. On a scale of 0 to 100.
There's tons of wigs in this movie.
I mean, well... And there's also
almost
like
mostly wigs.
There's a lot of plot points around wigs too, and there's
like a dramatic removal of a wig,
exactly, and like
a furious removal of a wig.
When you first meet Crystal, she's just slowly peeling away hairpiece after hairpiece.
Yep,
To the point where you're like, oh my god, that one's fake too.
Do you think they could find a Crystal has such like an over the top dressing room, and then the girls are basically in a warehouse? They can't find a middle ground.
Nope. They gotta do too many fast changes.
Now, was this nominated for set design? No.
Are there shows that actually? It seems very inefficient to have the dressing room downstairs.
That would probably not happen that way.
It does happen.
It does
really.
Sometimes. Yeah, but usually there's like an elevator.
I mean, on Broadway,
you'll
never be on the same floor as the stage. You'll it usually be upstairs, but
you get a lot of steps in that day.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, especially
two on
and the lower you are in the cast, the more.
Literally,
steps you get.
It's like the Titanic.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. What are you going to give this
the
for
opposite
wigs?
Of that, I think.
For wigs, I mean, I think I'd say 100. Because there's also that point about where they put on the wigs for the show, and it's like, she's like, oh, well, hold on, it's loose. And it's like all over the place. And then she goes out there and she does all this iconic, insane choreography, and the wig doesn't move at all. So, in a way, that not the wig is acting as much as
that's
Elizabeth
true.
Berkley.
There's a lot of wig happening.
Sure. So what are you going to give it, John?
I'm going to give it a 98.
98. What's keeping it from 100?
I don't know.
Fair enough.
I get that.
You know what I mean.
You got to keep
John
it
Wick,
in case.
John Wick 3 of Wigs shows up.
Right.
Because you do wig stock.
I'm going to give it a 95. A lot of wigs. A
lot of wigs.
Hairspray would be like
Hairspray
maybe
would
the
be
100.
Too. Yeah.
Or a documentary about wigs.
Something about that.
Or you know what is the wigs one? Is that Jennifer Lawrence movie and Bradley Cooper... and then
Silver Linings Playbook.
No, American
Hustle.
Hustle.
Yeah, that movie's awful.
And Tina and Amy did that joke at the Golden Globes. Tina and Amy, my good friends.
Sure.
They did that joke at the Golden Globes where they're like, or as I like to call it, explosion at the wig factory.
That was a pretty wiggy movie.
Go ahead.
Themes of mothers on a scale of 0 to 100.
So I mean, Henrietta was like a
high.
Henrietta, the relationship between Crystal
Nomi
is
that way too.
Yeah, definitely.
And even like Gay is sort of nice, and she's like, eat your brown rice and vegetable, or like it's like she's not.
If you're
nice.
Smart, there's and like, I was smart.
She's like a Munchausen by proxy mother.
Right. She's not nice, but the whole movie is Nomi searching for a mother father figure, and then she finds it in. All of these wretched people.
Sure.
Because as we learn, she's angrily accused of allowing her parents to die.
I think it's safe to say Naomi has abandonment issues.
Yeah,
she could probably benefit from a lot of therapy.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I did have that when he got her flowers and she goes, no one's ever gotten me flowers before. Most of the time when she tries to make Naomi sweet and naive, mm-hmm. it doesn't work. But I thought that line worked.
She has her moments.
Yeah.
That I would just say that one, but
she has her moment.
So mother issues. I'm gonna say 96.
96. There's nothing more motherly than Showgirls.
Yeah, I'm gonna go 90.
No, there is. That would be 100.
Well. Yeah. What'd you say?
96 as well.
96. I'll go 70 because it's kind of more metaphorical.
Okay.
I guess that's a theme for you. But 75.
Sure, sure.
Okay, great. Next category on a scale of 0 to 100. How much pool trouble is in Showgirls?
Oh, yes.
I mean, y'all, I know I'm coming across like that's I'm trying to rig the system, but this is a hundo.
Pretty much.
Yeah. What are you referring to? What in Showgirls has pool trouble?
There is a sex scene when Kyle MacLachlan and Elizabeth Berkley have sex. They have sex in a pool, a notoriously easy place to have sex, especially vaginally, is what I'm told by my female friends. And she mounts him.
Yes.
And then he stands completely still and like a sexy Esther Williams.
Yeah.
She thrashes her way away and toward him, thereby power bottoming and
she would have broken his dick.
She fucks him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's like a chicken with his head cut off.
And then when she orgasms, she leans back and a big
waterfall
of water's just going like up her nose.
Just goes straight into her face. And for whatever reason, that yields ecstasy for her.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so iconic that I have to give it 100 as well.
100. I'll give it a 95.
Okay.
Died with gremlins. I think that's fair.
Okay, sure. No problem.
Is that where they all die?
That's where
they
become.
Oh, that's right. They get better.
That's real trouble.
Yeah, that's true.
They multiply.
So the scale of trouble is more, I would say. next category. Quips. How quippy is Showgirls? I mean, it tries.
Yeah,
it's
I know.
There's so many like iconic lines from this.
But but it's not. It's not witty. It's not like Oscar Wilde quips.
I don't know, right. Henrietta and her crowd work.
But they felt sadder to me.
But that's okay.
And she's always calling herself fat. And
I mean,
like,
there's all these
honey.
Lines that you're like, oh, I remember that line. I remember that line. I remember that line. But I wouldn't call them quips as much as
No.
I mean, I think they do try to have quips between Crystal and Naomi and stuff like that.
Sooner or later,
even
you're going to have to sell it.
Even with Molly, they try and have her be like, I can't even thread a needle. And you're like, wait, what?
You could get a quotable page a day calendar out of this movie.
Oh, 100%.
Also, Nomi's like catchphrase of, it doesn't suck.
Right.
That's a good one.
She's very
cynical.
Where's
the chips?
Yeah. I mean, these are, again, I would say they're not exactly quips, but so I'll say 80.
80.
I'm going to have to go higher just because there's so many lines are just like, dancing ain't fucking.
Right.
Everybody got AIDS and shit. It's better than a 10-inch dick and you know it.
You feel like they're more unintentional quips?
Well, I would say like they're quotable.
Sure.
I'm going to go 94.
But quip is more demonstration of wit.
That's in my mind.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Would you say 94?
Yeah, I think there's like a wit to them. It's like it's a blue collar wit.
A blue collar wit. Please welcome to the stage.
Category
Larry the Table Guy.
Hey guys.
Ah yes, what a witty man.
I'll give it an 85.
Okay.
Higher than you, Jeff. Some fan.
Wow.
All right, next category: sassy best friends.
I mean. You got Molly. You got Henry.
Molly's not that sassy. Do you think she's sassy?
She's still sassy. She can't even.
What do
a
you mean by sassy?
Like
I
jokes,
like
you know? Like, come on,
they giggle
honey,
all the time.
You know,
the
like,
two of them. Come on, honey.
But more like a speaking
truth.
You
ate those potato chips.
Oh, she's more cute than sassy.
I see. This is what I think of, like the quote in the quips thing too, where it's like, they were trying to make her be the sassy best friend.
I don't think she
like
is.
We'll get fajitas.
Don't know how to ride
right.
it.
Right. I guess Mama is kind of.
Mama.
For sure. Even like.
Crystal, you can
Crystal,
make a case for is like.
Yeah.
Kyle MacLachlan's
best friend.
And like some of the other showgirls around her dressing table.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll give it a 90.
90.
I'll give it a 91.
91. I'm going to give it a 30.
Okay.
Not that sassy for me.
So for you, it's more about the sassy part.
What's that?
So for you, it's more about the sassy part.
And the best friend. Like, okay. Henrietta was more of a workplace.
She came and saw her outside.
One time.
It was like her mom.
Oh, wow, jeez.
Next category, shawls on a scale of 0 to 100.
There's a couple. Henrietta wore one in that iconic scene.
What's the iconic scene?
That was she looks better than a tennis stick and you know it.
And so then he says, it must be weird not having anybody come on you.
Honestly, it would be if that's what you're used to.
Sure. She'd be like, oh, so dry
it's
tonight.
A new normal. From Brian Murphy.
That one is a definite shawl.
Was there? I didn't notice any other ones, but I don't have a good eye for shawls.
There were some at like the parties.
Well, Molly is wearing one.
When she gets raped. Yeah. She is.
She is. Well, she shows up in a really cute little dress and she has a shawl over it. And then there in Goddess, she, that's more of a cape.
That's true. The wedding shawl we were saying, we were trying to say.
She had a veil, but I think
when they first go to Cheetah's, I think, isn't Gina Gershon wearing a little weird metal shawl that she takes off?
It's like a scarf, kind of.
Yeah. There's a couple shawls.
But she's wearing it like a shawl.
Yeah.
Sure.
If it's draped like a shawl, is it a shawl?
Like, it's not practical magic shawls going on, you know?
We're not at a Stevie Nicks concert.
Right. Yeah, exactly. American Horror Story.
Coven?
40.
40. Brutally honest, Jeff Hiller.
I'm going 65.
65. Oh.
There's some iconic moments with shawls in this movie.
I think there's one iconic moment.
Okay,
with shawls.
There you go.
She
iconic.
Has a shawl.
Yeah. She has a shawl. I'm going to give it a 30.
I mean, Kramer versus Kramer only had one iconic moment with a shawl.
And it got a 15. I gave it a 15. John gave it a 20.
I don't know that that's true.
So, anyways. Footwork on a scale of 0 to 100.
Oh,
I mean,
well,
this is a ton.
On.
It's a lot. To be a showgirl, you got to do your footwork. Running up those steps.
A lot of the dance themselves.
A lot of the dance has like a weird stomping.
Yeah. And this is how Nomi enters and leaves a room.
One guy didn't do footwork correctly, and he dropped a woman on her back, and she hurt her knee.
Also, when Nomi's like, I'm going to buy this dress, she did that little tap break.
Yeah.
And she's always running in such a crazy way.
No. It's also they do such a like the sound of like her running on the heels.
Yeah.
That sound is like it's almost like the TIE fighter in Star Wars in levels of iconic for me.
Yeah. Right.
Because it's such a distinct, knowable.
It's
that Foley work is
specifically a 90s
good.
Heel too. It's like so it's great. Like a slightly wider heel. It's not as much of a stiletto.
Yeah. Right.
So you can hear that like hollow clunk clunk clunk.
It sounds great.
99.
Yeah, I'm going to go 99 as well.
99. Sure, I'll go 99. One less than Chicago. That seems, you can't give it more than Chicago.
That feels fair.
Fair.
Next category. A bold lip.
Oh, 100.
Tons.
100%.
Tons. 100.
And this is the John Wick 3 of
bold
lips.
Lips. This is the bar.
I could not stop focusing on the fact that they would draw the lip.
The
much
lip line was
larger
way
than
out
the
louder
lip.
Than the lip itself.
It looked like now you have to use a Snapchat filter to get that.
Yeah, it's true.
It looked like the Kylie Jenner challenge.
You're like an anime character or something.
It was
like sexy baby or something.
It was unattractive.
Sort of. You think?
Yes, I do think.
Also, there's a one moment where like when Penny is first joining them at the Cheetah and Nomi goes up to her and she's like, no, do this with your lip. And like she helps her with like, that's how she bonds.
Plus Nomi's lips are always shiny.
The
always.
Goddess makeup is like.
So bold.
I mean, I guess that's kind of the point, but it's like.
It's bold.
It's so bold. And she has, when she's first on and she has that orange lip, she looks such
so
a weird. Clown.
So what are you going to give it for a bold lip?
I think 100.
100.
I could go 100 on this one.
100. I also will give it 100.
Yeah.
The only thing that would be tied or close would be like Little Shop of Horrors, maybe. Audrey 2. That's a bold lip.
Oh, right.
Yeah. I always think about Audrey 2's lips.
They're really intense.
Yeah. They're amazing. All right. Next category. Wearing someone else's clothes.
I mean, that's pretty big.
I mean, taking over Goddess.
Taking over
Goddess
right. someone else's clothes.
In some ways.
And then the fact that, like, she's wearing, like, Molly's like, I want you to wear that dress I made for you.
Oh, right.
But she made it for her, so then if it's a gift, is it someone else's?
Okay, fair. But also, like, she's, like, even Nomi, like, her whole character is someone else. Like,
but then
like
Kyle MacLachlan gives her that outfit, which is, like, the exact same outfit that Crystal was wearing earlier.
Oh, right, that she wears to the party.
So, like, it's also, like, not only is it her literal clothes, it's also, like, this big metaphor, too. So I think that yields kind of high. Mm-hmm. And also, like, she wears the dancer clothes, which is someone else.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Well, so like when she's at the Cheetah, she's Heather. You know what I mean?
Oh, right. And when she goes to her audition, she shows up in the wrong outfit. So she changes real quick into her bra, which mm-hmm. is like other people's clothes. I think those tights might be other people's clothes, too, because why would she have had those tights? Anyway, I don't know. 70.
70.
Oh, I'm going to go higher. I'm going to go 86.
86. I'll go 50.
Okay.
That was lit. I don't feel like costumes are too, but that's, or secret, or assuming another identity, if you're still your identity, like when she's Heather, that's still her.
I guess.
Like, because if she's not Heather, then who is?
I guess since she didn't talk about her process, then.
Like, if
okay.
Peter Parker's not Spider-Man,
I think
there's
some people
Spider-Man?
who might feel differently. Same person. But I think they could also feel the way you think.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I think that was demonstrated by our actual scores. Next category, witches.
Okay. Ooh. Here's my very soft pitch on this.
Uh-huh.
I thought, oh, we're going to go through one without a zero, but this is going to be your zero.
No, here we go. James Smith, when talking to Nomi, says, "You burn when you dance."
Isn't that a vampire?
No, I think like there's something witchy about it.
Also, like, there are a lot of
horrible people.
People of the devil.
But didn't we cover that in Strident Women? Like, if we have Strident Women, you can't. I feel like it's not. We shouldn't just do then. Like,
so
well,
this should just be
people.
Literal witches,
or just more. It should, has to be different, I think.
Oh well.
Someone who casts a spell, someone who has an intention, someone, you know what I mean? Someone who's like into psychics, someone who's into crystals.
I mean, in, this, in a weird, I mean, like in the same way that she dances,
spirituality.
Like, for whatever reason, she has some, I mean, like, that's true. I think she was miscast, like, but the character of Nomi Malone is supposed to be like,
this amazing
you
dancer.
Can't stop you can't looking stop at her. Like, she does seem to cast a spell
like
on her.
Like a siren?
Yeah, and like, sure. For whatever reason, it's so intense that,
I mean, like,
Crystal
also,
Connors,
like,
is like, I'm going to ruin your life.
Like, sure. A goddess, like, that character, like, comes out of a volcano. Like, she's not, like, she, there's something supernatural about that character.
Wasn't that more goddess than witch? She's a goddess. Like, the titular.
But we don't know.
The show is called Goddess.
It's not called witch.
It's not.
Get out of here.
She's a goddess.
Yeah.
The goddess is not a witch.
Well, you could be looser on the concept of witch.
And you could be more literal.
There you go.
So what are you going to give
about this
witches?
Made up thing?
I know. I mean, well, the important thing is this is going to help us discover how gay a movie is.
Yeah,
guys.
That's the important.
That's
the
why it's important thing. To have our standards.
Yes, thank you.
I don't know. 30.
30.
I'm going to go 42.
42. I'll go 25 because I think in some ways there is something Suspiria-like about the dancing.
Definitely.
Shattered glass.
Shattered glass, yeah, baby.
Shattered glass.
Next
for
category on the scale is 0 to 100. How would you rate this for lover turned friend? Are there any lovers turned? There's lovers turned like.
I think you could make a case that Nomi and Molly. They definitely did something. No,
it's not never on screen
weeks.
Though. It's never implied
no,
or
but,
referred to.
Oh, it's very implied.
It's very implied.
I mean, are you
they
kidding?
Just kinda, like,
they sleep in
they
a twin
the
bed together.
But it's never hinted at beyond that. You know, there's never like.
I think that
when they
I
first
think it was, like,
meet
they
though, they
it, yeah.
like almost
yeah,
kiss.
Lesbian
and she goes, "Are you
street.
Kidding on me?"
I don't think anything really happened. I never got that sense. That anything
Why do you
really
think
happened.
She would say, "Are you hitting on me?" And then a long beat, and then no.
Because she's used to people wanting her for her looks and her body.
But she had such a long beat before she said no.
Between the two of them, right. And I think they're now friends. I also
you really don't believe that? I mean,
I don't think
I'm not trying to like.
I do think there was like a flirty energy, but I think after that moment, nothing really happened between. I think they were meant to be like girlfriend sisters, the one person who really had her back and who really cared for her and didn't like sexualize her. That's why she trusted her.
Oh.
I think something happened.
Wow, I really feel like it did not play that way in my mind. It's just surprising that that's how it played for you. So I would say that they are lover turd friend. And then I mean, in a certain way, like with Crystal, it was always like lover, then friend, then enemy, then friend, then lover, then mother, then friend. So I'll say 46.
46.
I'm going to go 57.
57. I'll go 17. Okay. Mostly for the Nomi Crystal Connor, because it's kind of the beats of that, but nothing really, nothing really. Okay. All right, next category. How tan is it on a scale of 0 to 1? How tan is Raiders of the Lost Ark?
This is not Raiders of the Lost Ark. This is Showgirls.
Oh,
so
like
sorry.
Like cinematography-wise?
Or just however you want to do it.
How tan are the people?
Now, here's the thing. So I wouldn't say they're tan, but tan as an element, as like a plot point, does come in.
Kyle MacLachlan's pretty tan in this.
Kyle MacLachlan is relatively tan. Especially
he has a tan line.
Yeah.
But it's pretty white. When Gay is taking Nomi around, she goes, stay out of the sun. I don't want to see any tan lines. So like tan right. is
So
like
would
a,
you take away that then?
No, because I think like tan as an
element.
Theme, as an element. Also though, it's used as a power play.
Also though, those dancers totally had self-tanner on.
Oh yeah, totally.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. I mean, every single one of them.
Yeah. Trumpian almost.
Yeah. So the idea that she would be like, I don't want to, well, I guess tan lines is different than a tan.
Yeah, if it's uniform.
I don't know. 60?
60.
I'll go 68.
68.
It's kind of tan in the desert, too, cinematography-wise.
True.
But you never really see the desert, just at the beginning and the end.
Yeah.
True.
Just at the beginning and the end.
Yeah, full circle. Like the literal beginning and end for scene. All right. Second to last category, then it's yours. One more category, then it's your category.
You ready for this Great. One?
All right. On a scale of 0 to 100, how Korean is Showgirls?
No.
All of the businessmen who they have are all Japanese.
Yep. Or from Shanghai.
Mm-hmm. Korean.
I don't think it's very Korean at all.
I bet one of the strippers was Korean.
I don't. I think they just
one
didn't
of the
show
strippers?
Her.
Yeah, like in Cheetahs, or like one of the showgirls.
But we didn't see her.
We didn't.
What do you mean
see
we didn't
her.
See her?
We didn't see her.
You I'm sure. I don't, maybe someone had to be Korean.
We're gonna get a zero. See, it's it will never beat Muppets Take Manhattan. We'll never beat it.
We don't
it.
Know yet. We don't know yet.
Oh, we know.
I haven't clicked.
Once you get a
page.
Zero, you lose. Everybody knows that.
It's an absolutist. If you didn't win, you lost.
Oh, I'm the absolutist.
If you didn't win, you lost. You could place. What are you going to give this for? How Korean? How Korean is Showgirls?
I mean, I bet they showed it in Korea.
I bet.
There we go.
I bet they did.
And you know,
although,
when they used to
show
it on
17 movies in Korea.
Oh, no.
Well, no, they probably showed that version on
VH1. VH1 version.
I think you can in Korea. I think, like South Korea, not sure. North. Obviously, no one in North Korea is on.
You know how much they would love Showgirls in North Korea? Blow their minds.
It really reinforces Excess. All of this. Yeah, yeah. Look at
it
these.
It probably plays
Marvel
like Blade
Americans.
Runner to them.
I mean, imagine if that was the movie that they got. They got Dennis Rodman and Showgirls.
Honestly, that's a fair representation of America.
I'm going to say just because I imagine, like, sort of like the K-pop culture finding fun in the camp of this.
Sure.
I'm going to give it like a 6.
K-pop fans known for their looseness.
Well, I was thinking of that version on VH1.
Sure. What are you going to give this, John?
I don't know anything about K-pop.
I'll give it 9.
9. I got to give it a 0.
Okay.
I didn't think it was very Korean. All right, Jeff, the time has come for you to add a category to the canon, which we will then use forevermore to judge how gay a movie is.
Well, now I feel like I've ruined it because I had one planned.
Uh-huh.
And now I feel like it might conflict with another one. I was going to say quotability. But is that
kind
like
quips?
Quips?
I would
like
say
quips?
So.
It's some overlap, but it doesn't have to be.
Oh. Okay. 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 How about... Okay, I think this is a legit thing that I think could apply to other queer movies.
Okay.
And it's like, well, I was gonna say understudy, but maybe the better one is waiting in the wings.
Oh.
Okay.
Like ready to take over. So like All About Eve.
Like so, an understudy? Understudies?
Well, that's what I was going to say. But
same thing.
But maybe Waiting in the Wings is...
It sounds better.
Better.
There's a drama to it. So how would it apply to a movie that's like not like a show business movie that it might work? Like just
right.
So we can like...
Well, like in Working Girl, that would be 100.
Okay,
sure.
So it's about like...
Or even like a romance, like she's with the guy I want to be or he's with the guy I want to be.
Right, exactly. And
you're
it's
waiting,
all,
taking
it
over could be a coming
life,
of age
taking
story
taking
too.
Role.
It's a metaphor.
Right.
So single white female with Square Bear
and has. Yeah, in a way, it's almost like jealousy. It's like wanting to be that
ambition.
Person.
Ambition.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what would you give Showgirls for Waiting in the Wings?
100. I mean, she literally waits in the wings on top of the fact that she wants to be the understudy.
Yeah.
I mean, there's like a plot point where people are murdered to get to be the understudy.
Sure. No one's actually murdered, but they're
close.
Close. I will also give
their
it 100.
Dance careers are murdered.
That's true. A dancer does die twice.
A dancer does die. I'll give it 100 as well. Giving an average of 100. Number one in the category and the wings. Not too shabby. All right. Finally, we're into the bonus round. So it's not average. It's yes or no. Things we kind of have to agree on. Mm-hmm. So plus 15% bonus for a positive portrayal of homosexuality.
I think this movie
gives it.
No Mean Girls. But I think the gay people who are in it, they're all very responsible. They look out for each other. They care for each other.
I would say it's positive. I don't think you come away thinking that was a good representation of LGBT people.
Yeah, but you don't come away thinking that's a good representation of heterosexual people.
Exactly. That's my point. It's not a positive portrayal of anything.
That I would say yes is that they that Esther Haas, who's the this sort of
pig.
Yeah, mm-hmm. The no definition of toxic instinct. Masculinity. Allowed that one scene for the two male dancers to be dancing romantically at the party.
Yeah, I think there's sure. nothing. I think this is you see a lot of like normal relationships in both the Cheetah and in Goddess. I think Patrick Bisto as Marty, the dance captain, he is tough but fair. He's definitely looking out for her. He wants to do well. He doesn't sabotage her.
What's the difference between a dance captain and a choreographer?
The choreographer, it's sort of like the writer. Like, they create what the steps are. And the dance captain is the one who sort of, like, rehearses it, polishes it, keeps the show running. Because oftentimes a choreographer will be like, great, those are your steps, bye.
Sure.
So a dance captain keeps it going.
Dance captain's shoulder.
A little more, yes. I think this movie qualifies for positive portrayal of homosexuality.
I do, too.
Well, I would say it's like, to me, it's like both. It's like salacious and gross, but also it doesn't, I feel like it's not using gay. It is at the same time using it to shock and titillate, like as right. There's an otherness to it. But it also, I feel, doesn't judge them for that. So 15% bonus points.
Oh my Alrighty. God, I can't believe we got away with that.
And then next, straight actors playing gay roles, -5% each instance. Now you were saying Molly... And you were making a case that they were gay earlier.
Said they were queer.
They were queer. As far as we know, these actors are not queer in real life. Is this where you're? Oh, is this when you're pretty loose and not as literal anymore?
Mm. I think the characters that are definitely
Gina Gershon, I don't believe is gay.
I'm sure Gina Gershon has gone down on another woman.
She doesn't identify though.
But how do you know?
You don't know.
I've Googled.
You've Googled.
Oh, so she doesn't publicly identify. Yeah.
She came and saw a show, and she came with the Scissor Sisters. I think that allows so her to be queer. That allows her to say she is queer.
I don't think that's true.
I think it's true.
Well, I see what you're saying. So what? We
but
would
I don't
get
think
negative
a
three?
That...
So it would be 15% for each of those women?
Yeah.
No, Tony wins. Tony fucking wins.
I don't think that's true, though, because I don't think those characters...
I would say when I was saying the positive thing of homosexuality, it's not these women. is the worst part
sure,
of it all.
Sure, sure. All right, so it's just zero. And then finally, -50%. Is this the movie Cruising?
This is not the movie Cruising, so it does not lose 50% of its points.
All right, so finally, the grand total. Out of a total possible 4,200 points, Showgirls has scored 2,543.03, giving it a percentage of 60.55, making it the fifth gayest movie ever. Not as gay as Adam's Family Values, but gayer than Midnight Madness.
Oh my God. Poor Susie came with such a game plan, too.
She did. Honestly, I feel like that's fair.
Yeah.
Fifth.
I do feel like your system is flawed.
I mean, well, yeah. We're going to work on that. We're working on that. You know what I mean? But that's fair. I think that's fair.
It feels like a disappointment, doesn't it, John?
It doesn't feel. What are
we
the
were
top
running
five
the
now?
Numbers.
What's
what
that?
Is top five right now?
Number five, Showgirls, 60.55. Right. Number four, Adam's Family Values, 9 to 5, Meet Me in St. Louis, Muppets Take Manhattan.
The worst part is I pulled punches on the quips because I thought I was going to use quotability as mine.
Mm-hmm. Well, you
can't leave it on the table.
What a bummer.
They're free points.
Jeff, is there anything you like to plug, promote, or shill for at this time?
What does it matter?
I don't know. I guess it doesn't.
If you're ever in New York City, come see Ass Cat at the UCB Theater on Sunday nights.
Are you going to be there?
No, I just think these people should see it.
That's nice, a good show. That's nice. It's a good time.
Pretty reliable.
Oh, my husband has a podcast you should listen to called She's a Talker.
Oh, great.
It's a really fun podcast.
All right. Well, Jeff, thank you so much for being here. You're such a delight, as always. It's so nice
thank
to
you
see
for introducing
you. You're
us,
a true
Jeff.
Gem. You are the one.
You are the one.
Thanks.
You and Gabriel.
You are the creation figure.
Yes, true.
Thanks, guys.
You are the fertility idol.
Goodbye.
We'll be right back.
We're back. And so is our guest. Please welcome Jeff Hiller back again.
Thanks for sticking around, Jeff.
Sorry.
You have nothing to apologize for.
We got water. We're refreshed.
Mm-hmm. Oh, none of you got me water. Thank you.
Okay.
It's your house.
Okay. fair, true. I was doing other work. All right. So, yeah, I mean, I have to say, I was surprised. I thought Showgirls was going to do higher, but I definitely thought it was going to be in the top five.
I think top five is respectable.
Sure.
You bum.
Jeff, you really?
I feel it's in good company because the scale, the difference between number five and number one isn't that big. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? It's mm-hmm. not like it's such a huge disparity.
Yeah, I just have a bitter rivalry with
Tony Rodriguez.
Rodriguez.
No. Sure. Who doesn't?
I get it. But I think perhaps when we reshuffle things, then other movies will get different ratings.
Yes. We are planning on reshuffling, as we said. I think we've said before.
We've been talking about it. We haven't committed to anything specific.
I do think I want more bonus categories or things that are... There's some categories like a breath acting or mannequins. I feel like you shouldn't be penalized for not having those.
Mm-hmm,
but if you have them, it's a bonus.
Sure.
So I feel there's going to be more bonus categories.
Right. I think
maybe
that's
even
good.
In the scoring, it's not an average, but like we all get maybe 33 points to put in the bucket in
How
some
you
ways.
Mean?
You know, like you can like it's just a cumulative. It's not an average anymore. I don't know. It's just a thought.
Yeah, I think I don't understand why we. Well, whatever.
I don't know. Because it's bonus. I don't know.
No, I like the idea of there being more bonus stuff so that things aren't. Because right now, the way it is, if you don't have a lot of those things, you're just really severely penalized. So it's hard to sort of recover.
Like having shattered glass doesn't really make your movie gay. Like, but having it not having shattered glass doesn't make your movie less gay. But having it in does make it gayer. So I feel like you shouldn't be penalized for not having it. So just make it a bonus.
Gotcha.
Right.
Now, what about the categories where it has nothing to do with anything?
Like what? Name one.
You know what I'm going to say.
Well, I feel we're stuck with felt now, in all honesty.
You think it's iconic?
I do think it's iconic.
What?
For our show. It's all we got, Jeff. It's a thing.
Dream felt bigger.
Hashtag save the felt.
Well, until we get something bigger. And, you know, it's constant. In my mind, the scoring system is like Disneyland. It'll never be finished.
It'll never be finished completely.
I'd run you that email. That Muppet Maker told me they're not made out of felt. They're made out of, like, some other...
What can we do?
We know. Someone can't go back and redo old scores.
Well, where does it end?
Where does it end?
We start that?
I don't know.
Mm.
Maybe the truth is where it ends, at the truth?
Truth is subjective.
Okay.
So
apparently y'all can't handle the truth.
That would not do very well.
No, it
probably
really wouldn't.
No.
Ironic for a movie called A Few Good Men.
Yeah.
A Few Bad Boys, maybe.
Maybe. Hello.
Volume 2. We'd love to know, you, the listener, what you think. Obviously, this is still a never-ending process. If we are going to make some things bonus categories, so you aren't penalized for not having them, what are those categories do you think? We would love to let us know. Shoot us an email, tweet at us.
Yeah, twooldqueens@gmail.com.
Maybe use a hashtag, essentially gay or essentially bonus.
There you go.
There we go. I don't know.
I feel like essentially gay might be used somewhere else.
That's fun. That's not. I'm not going to be mad at that.
Oh, no, I'm saying that's an added bonus.
Oh, yeah, that's another bonus for us. Yeah. Sassy hashtag. Mm-hmm. Speaking of hashtags and emails.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. While we're on the subject, we have an email from Ian Hinckley. He says, my favorite and the future. So this looks good. It says, hi, this is my favorite podcast these days, and I've been listening since episode one. I wanted to share my idea for how to move forward with the categories while staying true to the format and the idea that they all become canon. I think the two of you should pick the 25 categories that best define what makes the gayest movie. Then all the remaining ones, past and future, submitted by guests can go into a list that will become the 26th category. The guests can choose which one from the list will become canon for their movie. In other words, if someone brings in John Wick 3, they can choose Shattered Glass and give it 100. Then they will add another category to the list. It sounds a little confusing writing it, but I think it would be an easy thing to incorporate. Thanks so much for all the entertainment. I love you guys. Bye. From Ian Hinkey. Thank you, Ian.
That's pretty simple.
That's pretty simple. It makes sense.
I'm not
to
mad
me.
At that.
Yeah.
What do you think about that, Joe? We would just have to provide the guests with this list ahead of time.
And I would also just say that, like, when it comes to things that are binary, you shouldn't put them in the 100 thing.
Right.
Like,
gotcha.
Makeover montage.
Gotcha, but as we sometimes see, John has a very different idea of what a montage is than I. Two
yes,
shots
that's because
together.
He's fighting for the films.
I'm fighting for the films.
They should be catering to us. We shouldn't cater to them.
No, no. We have to meet them on their terms. Their terms.
They're the ones who failed.
Maybe we wouldn't have to do that if Felt weren't so iconic.
Well, what there if you can't
so it seems like with
world.
This, like if say there were 25 categories total, one would be a guest, whatever they bring in, and one would be like one from the mailbag. Not the mailbag, but like from
a
the...
Grab. A buffet. They get to choose one. Like you get to choose one toy from the toy store.
Right. Exactly. One pass category.
And you also
maybe
get
we could spin a
one.
Wheel. What if there's like a wheel?
Do you want to make a wheel? Go.
You can
for
do it.
It.
There's apps for that. We can do that. No problem.
An app for a wheel? That's no fun. If you're gonna do it, do it.
Okay. All right. Suddenly, it's so weird what you choose to fight for and what you choose to let go.
A fake wheel is just sad.
You're right. That is sad.
Well, thank you so much for listening. Please thank let you, us yes. know. Tweet at us.
Again, email twooldqueens@gmail.com.
twooldqueens on Twitter and Instagram, or twooldqueens@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
This is happening very soon. Maybe not after this. Two more episodes, and then we're changing it, right?
But we don't know. We still have to talk about that. We'll talk about it. It's happening soon, though.
We got to commit to something.
Okay. Jeff, any things we can follow you on or anything like that?
No.
At
Boom Boom Hiller.
Yes.
Great. Thank you so much, everybody.
Is that it? Are we good?
We're good. We'll see you next week. We did say we were going to do Wayne's World this week, but actually that's now for next week because Jeff Hiller was in town. We had to get him. This was an emergency recording. So next week we are doing Wayne's World.
Yeah.
But I think this will be a fun, hopefully it was a fun
I can't imagine anyone's disappointed. Like, I was so looking forward to Wayne's World, but I got Showgirls instead.
Two old queens, more like... Three old queens,
hey-o.
Am I right?
Then on that note, goodbye.
Mm-hmm. Now it's time for credits. Produced by Alex Arshay. Music by Danny Cohen. Art by Connie Shin. See you next Wednesday. Bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.